You know, we did something a little bit different last week. We started talking. We've been doing a series on love and marriage. And because of some crazy fears, we thought we'd kind of change the topic. So I want to do that again this morning, just kind of talk about, because a lot of people are walking in fear. And how many of us, we don't have to? Don't have to walk in fear. But I saw this and I thought it was kind of funny. It says, a woman and her husband interrupted their vacation to go to a dentist. I want a tooth pulled. And I don't want Novocaine because I'm in a big hurry. That's what the woman said. Just extract the tooth as quickly as possible and we'll be on our way. The dentist was quite impressed. He said, you're certainly a courageous woman. Which tooth is it? The woman turned to her husband and said, show him your tooth, dear. So this morning, we're going to talk again how to get out of the fog of fear, but we're going to use the acrostic courage. Courage is how we walk out of fear. Now, there's a lot of different things that we fear about. So we looked at some last week, and we found out that snakes was a big fear of people. But we know that public speaking is the number one fear. But there's like 7,000 different fears. There's the fear of fear. Fear of being afraid. But it goes on and on and on. And the enemy's job is to paralyze us with fear. But he's what? He's a liar. So here's the first text that's going to be up the screen. If you have your little notes with you, you might want to follow along in the notes today, because what we're going to do with the acrostic is going to be kind of cool. It's going to help us out. 1 John 4:18b says this, because fear involves torment. Fear involves torment. I saw this story. Victor E. Frankl, world-renowned psychiatrist and a Holocaust survivor. He said, in order to find authentic meaning in our lives, we need courage, which is not the absence of fear, but the willingness and ability to walk through the fear, to tread, if you will, into darkness of life's labyrinth of meanings. And it is during the worst times, including hardships and suffering, that our courage is put to its greatest test. It's during those hard times of suffering and things going crazy that our faith gets put to the test, and some amazing things happen out of that. He said, over and over, we learn from those who have lost everything that the worst times are often the catalyst for the best times. How many has ever found that to be true? Sometimes when you go through the worst times, it really makes you dig down deep to God. He said this, in the concentration camps, in this living laboratory, and on this testing ground, we watch and witness some of our comrades behave like swine while others behave like saints. Man has both potentials within himself. Which one is actualized depends on the decisions, but not on the conditions. It always has to do with what we think we're going to do, not with the situation, right? So as we're looking at this, we're going to kind of talk about some of our fears. And we said one of the greatest ones is public speaking. And I briefly mentioned Moses last week. So as we're reading the Exodus, when God has raised up Moses to help Israel, and he's right to that point where he's getting ready to take off, and he gets struck with fear. But we're going to read the text in Exodus 4, 11 and 12. There's actually quite a bit in this. It says, but Moses did what? Pleaded with the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. I'm always amazed. I know for the older generation, everybody remembers Mel Tillis. He couldn't talk because he'd get tongue-tied, but he could sing perfectly. And I always wonder how he overcame that fear to sing when he had such a fear of talking with people. Go to the next one. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Isn't that good? Who makes your mouth? Who decides whether people can speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? And then he says, now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. So God says, I got this. But look what Moses says. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else, anybody, you know, take the kid down the street. Just use anybody. Because what happened, fear had just gripped his life. So we're gonna use that crossing this morning, courage, and we're going to see how we can overcome our fears through courage. We were talking to some of the students Wednesday night, and I don't know how this got brought up. They was kind of talking about the coronavirus, and some of the students were kind of afraid. They're doing drills at school, right, and some different things. And the more we think about things like that, the more it gets entrenched into our minds. When you listen to the news media and that's all they're talking about, it gets entrenched into our minds. God is greater. He's bigger. He's got all the tools at his side, right? Still does not change things that we are human, right? So here's Moses, and Moses was just a little bit afraid. And at first he wasn't able to overcome the fear, but when he stepped out and started moving forward, he probably became one of the greatest speakers there ever was. The word says he was one of the most humble men on the face of the planet. So let me ask you a question. What are you afraid of? What is it that paralyzes you? What is it that you're afraid of? What paralyzes you? Because what happens is that takes and instills our dreams. It takes and instills those things that God wants us to do. So when we use this acrostic courage, it's going to help us cut through the fog of fear. So here's the C, if you're taking notes. Clearly identify what frightens me. We got to clearly identify what is it that scares me. And I want to be honest, over the years, there's been a few things. I remember for years, you know, when we went to Arkansas, we didn't hardly have enough money to live on. You know, I just had this unnatural fear that everything would dry up and there wouldn't be enough money to make it on. And there was times, I remember one time we prayed as a family because we didn't have enough money. And we prayed, first time we ever did that, our kids were really young, and we prayed about money. I didn't want them ever to hear that we was having money issues because I didn't want that to seep into their lives and them to think we can't do nothing because of money. Because how many knows money is just a tool? And if God needs you to have a tool, he'll make some tool for you. So we grabbed hands in a little circle, and we prayed as a family. And I always tease, you know how we always say the check's in the mail. The very next day, I went up to the mailbox, and there was a check for $400. It could have been $4,000. I mean, it felt like $4,000 because we were broke. But here's the cool thing. See, God already knew it was there. We prayed, and you know what that did? That brings faith to our children. It brought faith to us. You know, God already knew there was an answer. That's the God that we serve. So we got to clearly identify what frightens me. And then you got to observe where I have placed my faith. Observe, where have I placed my trust and my faith? How many remembers the story of David and Goliath? This 10-foot giant comes out. Think for a minute, 10 foot tall. I'm about 6 foot four. I'm 5'8". And shrinking, aren't we all? Can you imagine 10 foot tall? That ceiling is probably 12, 10. So here's what's going on. Army of Israel's here, Philistines are over here, and this giant comes out every day and he is taunting Israel. And the whole army is just scared. They're all afraid, man. They're just shaking in their boots. And David comes up on this and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's taunting the people of God? David just had a, he wasn't there every day. Let me just say this. If you walk around people that's walking in fear all the time, if you're not careful after a while, you're going to walk around in fear. If you walk around people all the time that think the world is falling apart, how many knows after a while you're going to think the world's falling apart? If you walk around people that's always griping and complaining, you know what's going to happen? That's actually found in God's word. How many knew that? So here's the thing. They were looking at the size of the problem, not the size of God. And that's what we did. We see the problem. That's a huge problem. We got a big God that made every single thing. He made everything. He's got it all in control. That's our God. Here's David. Now, let me read this to you. David had this incredible confidence in Yahweh, but in 1 Samuel 17:45, David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and javelin. Here's this big guy, And I've done some study about how big the shield was. He's got this huge shield, and he's got this helmet on. David, it tells about him coming out. He's got all his armor on. He's ready to go, and this is what it says. It says, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies." 1 Samuel 17:45, it says, he didn't say, I just come to you, God Almighty. He says, it's heaven's army that you're going to fight against. He that is for you is greater than he that is. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift up a standard against him. Man, that's a God that we serve. This God says, man, I've got this down. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. And David knew that. Wow, that's what made him such an incredible guy. And he takes that slingshot, right? And it's aimed by God because it hits him right here. He's got all this armor on, and God knows right where to hit him. Then David goes down and cuts his head off. David knew how to get ahead. That's terrible, isn't it? That's horrible. Here's the next one. You got to understand, God has a plan for me. From the day that you were born in the womb, God had a plan. Fear wants to take that plan away from you, but see, God's got a plan. He's got this incredible plan just for your life, and the enemy kind of wants to just kind of tweak it. How many knows that the prophet Jeremiah, he also was a little bit afraid? Jeremiah 1, 5 through 9, it says this. It says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb." How many knows God knew you? You know, that's why we believe that abortion is wrong. God's got us numbered. He already knows all about us when we're in the mother's womb. Amen. Really, really important that we catch that and understand that. He says, "Before you're born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Now, you got to catch this. He's been working as a priest. Priest talks to God. Prophet speaks to people. The priest, because part of the lineage, what happened is they were always taken care of. The prophet, man, there wasn't finances. There wasn't a lot of things going on for the prophet. You know, you just had to say something. People judged whether it was right or wrong. Now, listen to this. In the Old Testament, if you got up and said, "Thus saith the Lord of God," and you were wrong, they took you out and stoned you. Amen? You better be right, right? So here's Jeremiah. And he says this. He says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I said I can't speak for you. I'm too young." The Lord replied, "Don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you." Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth. He would come sometimes with a message that was kind of hard for people to swallow, right? And he said, "Man, I don't know, this is kind of scary." And God says, "Don't worry about it. I've got this." Whatever God calls you to do, he will also equip you to do it. Amen? You might say, "Well, I don't really know." When we got voted in as youth pastors years ago, we knew everything about youth. We didn't know nothing that you guys are the youth. One day we're not the youth pastors, the next day we're the youth pastors. We didn't know nothing. I mean, nothing. We knew nothing at all. I remember one night we were doing something over in the old Royal Ranger building, and I got all these kids up, and we're doing a Jericho march. We're just marching around this. I don't know why we're doing it. I've seen it happen before, so we're just doing it. and it wouldn't go nowhere, and I'm, "You got to keep going. You got to," and you know, I was just zealous for God. Didn't know a thing I was doing. But see, God began to equip us. I was scared. I was afraid. Ray, God just kept saying, "You know what? My mama didn't call me. My daddy didn't call me. Brother Billy didn't call me. God called me." And that's what made all the difference in the world. Now, because Brother Billy was in my life, he was my pastor, he was my mentor, I listened to him. The calling didn't come from him. But I still, to this day, I still honor him, right? Amen. So I believe that God is speaking those words to you. Before you were ever born in the womb, God had already planted something in you for life. Man, this journey on earth can get a little bit crazy, scary, right? Maybe some people are thinking about starting a career, a business, ministry, a relationship, or maybe just stepping out in faith a little bit more as we pray for our grandchildren. I know I said this to most everybody. We found out here a while back we're going to have a grandbaby. And we're excited. That's going to be the first grandchild. My son Joseph and his fiance, they're going to get married in May. Then they're going to have a baby just a little bit later. But the cool thing is it's going to be the only child that has a car before they're born. Just kidding. I said, we're going to spoil this child. We're going to spoil him and send him home. I was talking, I think Jordan, when you guys said you guys have like drums and stuff that you're for your kids or something, some loud stuff? Still in the box. Well, you know, we did when for our brother-in-law, for his kids, we used to buy them drums and loud things. It's always fun to have family you can spoil, right? But it's nothing like getting to spoil your own. So what gives me courage to move against my fear? Knowing that God's called me. God's got a calling on my life. The reason that we're here at New Hope, the reason we've been in ministry for 37 years. I say that, I think, man, I'm old. 37 years, but you know what keeps you going? I was talking to we had a leadership meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to a young couple there. They just got appointed to this church, and they've been having to make some changes. Folks, listen just for a second. Really important to know that if we don't reach a younger generation, there's not going to be a church around. And I know you know that. You guys are really good with that. Some churches are unwilling to change anything, and they're just dying. And this couple's been kind of struggling with that, so I was kind of just up talking to them and just encouraging them. But you know what? Then I realized as I was talking to them, you know one of the hardest things is to do in this thing called Christian in life is that after years and years and years of being a Christian, keeping the joy up, keeping the faith alive, keep the expectations moving forward. There's some mornings you can come and the enemy can attack with everything and you think, man, I don't got nothing to give. And God says, you just give what I've given you and it's going to be okay. So, but the thing is just making sure that over all the years, God, we keep our hearts in tune, our hearts trusting and believing in God and making sure that fear doesn't start to inch in a little bit. How many of those fear can inch in? We start thinking, oh man, you know, I'm getting older. I don't have much time left. I know this. I know I've got all the time God's given me. The Bible says an appointed unto man wants to die, and after this the judgment. So I'm going to live no matter what happens until I die. I know you're thinking that's a deep one. Oh, let me go to the next one real fast. For they are, recognize that God is with me. We got to recognize, man, God, I know that you're with me. You decided years ago when I gave my life to Christ that you're not going to leave me. I can leave you, but you're never going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me. Amen. God loves you. He cares for you. We got to recognize that there's three guys, Moses, Jeremiah, and Isaiah. They all had three things in common. They were asked by God to do public speaking. Scared to death to do it. Fog had closed down their thinking. Have you ever tried to speak somewhere publicly and a little fear came in and you lost your words? Raise your hand if you have. Real high. Okay, I want everybody to turn around. Turn around. Just raise your hands. Everybody turn around and look for a minute because there's a lot of hands going up. Raise your hands really high so everybody can see you. Okay. There's been times that I've been speaking or think I'm going to start speaking and the words just... And I've got a word. I'm a very noted preacher. I use lots of notes for that very reason. But it's easy to get up and at times you just kind of, you freeze and you're just like, wow, what was I going to say? I know this is hilarious. My whole life since I gave my life to Christ, I've always tried to be a person of prayer. And when I started doing ministry, I started praying more just because I was scared. Went back to Arkansas. We had a lot of fellowship with a lot of different pastors back there. And every once in a while, we'd meet in the park and we'd pray. And you'd hold circles and it'd be each turn. And these guys are preaching these eloquent prayers. I don't have eloquent prayers. Like, God, save the world, do it today. You know what I mean? And so it gets around to me and I'm like, God, save the world, do it today. She come on job, pass it on by. You know what I mean? And after 11 years back there, what I started realizing is God's not really worried about what's coming out of our mouth as much as he's worried about what's coming out of our heart. We stand up and we begin to pray. I just try to shut people out. God, man, I thank you that you're on the throne, that you've got this thing, that you're an amazing God. You can do whatever you want to. Fear has to leave, right? I've got to recognize. I got to recognize that God is with me. These words that I am with you is what sustained Jesus as he faced his greatest challenge. Go with me just for a minute. I'm not going to go forever, but just for a few more minutes. Can you imagine if you knew when you were going to die and how you were going to die? And a lot of us think, well, it'd be great just to go to sleep and wake up in Jesus' arms, right? But how about being whipped and beaten, a crown of thorns shoved on your head? I don't know if you know this, but head wounds bleed a lot. See someone get a little cut and, man, they just bleed a lot. The Bible says he was beat and whipped. You couldn't even recognize that he was a human. Can you imagine knowing that's going to happen? But Jesus knew something also, that the Father is there with him. John 16:32 says, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Now, here's the next one for the A. You got to advance toward what I fear. Whatever I fear, I can't run from it. I got to advance toward it. If we begin to run from our fears, it keeps building up. Courage. Put this next slide up. Courage is not the absence of fear. Listen to this. Everybody at times fears. Everybody. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving ahead in spite of your fear. No matter if you're afraid, you go ahead and you move forward anyway. And then you start pushing past that. Years ago, you've heard me talk a lot about my car accident, but something I've not really talked about before is after I had my car accident, I slid down the road on my head and got all tore up. I was afraid to ride in vehicles. And I remember one time we were going to a football game, and I was with my mom and dad in their van. And when you cross the aqueduct going towards Bakersfield, that road is elevated off the ground a ways. And every time we'd go through there, I mean, it would scare me to death. Because I just knew. I know, Emily, I remember you saying after your accident, you were afraid to drive for a while. So it really happens because this traumatic event happened, and then you're scared. And that was me. But you know, somewhere down the road, you got to push past that fear. You got to drive again. Now, there's some things that we know are just going to happen. I tell this, I know we're talking to us that all know, but for your younger ladies, when you have a baby, and, you know, the baby's about a year old and still wearing diapers and 2 years old and still wearing diapers and we're a little bit afraid, I promise you when they go to school, they won't wear a diaper. I heard that from Dr. Dobson's years ago. This lady called in. She was so upset. My son is still in diapers. She said, so, honey, don't worry about that. School has a way of taking care of that. You don't see anybody in fifth grade still wearing a diaper. The G, you got to go ahead and step across that line. As you face your fear, advance towards it. It doesn't matter what the fear is, advance towards the fear. I remember the day that I wanted to ask Cheryl to marry me. Boy, I had alligator sweat happening. There's nothing worse when you want to go tell someone you love them that, you know, that you love them and your shirt is soaked. And oh, you're trying to put on your best face and it's sweating. But you got to advance towards your fear. You got to go towards it. Don't run from it. You got to go towards it. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to happen in life, and we got to move towards that. See, your doubts, your emotion, every negative thought at that point will start running through your mind. All the reasons this can't happen. And that's how fear does. Adrenaline goes the opposite direction. But you begin to move forward towards it. And then you know what? You start breaking those strongholds in the mean. That's the problem. If we allow fear to hang around long enough, after a while it becomes a stronghold. You let fear hang around long enough, after a while it becomes a stronghold. Now check this out. I said this last week, but I want it up on the screen. So next slide on the screen. You can't stop because you don't get to the end zone unless you get out of the comfort zone. I want to say that again. You can't stop because you don't get to the end zone unless you get out of the comfort zone. God has called us to do some pretty amazing things. But fear sometimes holds us back, and we can't move forward. When we begin to push through, when we use the acrostic, something amazing happens. And the last one, I like this. We got to express my gratitude for God's help. express that. Just tell God thank you. I don't know how many times over the 37 years of ministry, how many times that when the service is over, sometimes even before the service, I'll say, God, thank you. You helped me get through this today. There's been sometimes in the first service like this, it's like, man, it just, you know, sometimes it goes flat. Sometimes it goes flat in the second service. But if it doesn't in the first service, said, oh, man, I got to do the second service. But what happens, though, we advance towards that fear. We just say, you know what, God, I've given exactly what you've called me to give. And the Bible says his word's going to go out and accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. That's God's word. It's not my word. His word has power. So I'm going to step out on faith, and God's word is going to accomplish. And so what I do is say, God, thank you. Thank you today that I had the opportunity to get up a whole hour earlier. That I get to come down to New Hope, a place where we get to have new hope and we get to share about courage to move forward towards our fear and conquer it. In Jesus' name. Worship team, come back up if you don't mind. Thank you, guys. And gals. What are the fears that's holding you back? What are those? You know, it's this time in the service that we really want to bring things down. The Word of God is not about just listening to a message, but it's about hearing something and then learning to apply that. Because without application, we've just kind of tickled our ears, right? So God wants us to practice application, to move, to have courage in the face of whatever is going on. Maybe some people are just, I know years ago I also had this fear that Russia was going to, remember back in the, when we heard Russia had nuclear weapons and every time you turn on the news they're going to bomb us, and that used to scare me for a while. Whatever those fears might be, they don't come from God. And if they don't come from God, we shouldn't be spending time listening to them. But we do because we're human. So sometimes we got to say, okay, I see this happening, so now I'm going to advance. See, courage is not just having a supernatural faith, and you know, but it's moving towards what scares you. That's the courage part. And knowing that God's going to take care of this. I'm going to have them sing just a bit of this song. Then we're going to pray. I'm going to ask the singer quietly for a minute, but I'm going to ask you to do something this morning, a little bit different than what we sometimes do in the morning service. But I'm going to ask everybody that will, if you just get out of your seats and come right down to the front. They're singing this song about heaven. God wants us just to do something in our lives, right? But the fear says, no, don't move. But God says, you know, advance towards what's scaring us. Not that you have to get out of your seats, but I'm just going to ask if you don't mind, just come down to the front, all that we do. I just want to pray. Thank you. We're going to sing that quietly for a minute. Real quiet for a minute. I just want us to pray. I know sometimes we come and we're just saying, God, I want a refreshing. Or maybe it's just, maybe the fear thing. Something is just kind of coming against us. So as we advance and we begin to tell God, God, I need you. That's what, so David did. David just said, man, I come to you not with swords and spears, but the name, the power in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you this day. God, that you have power. God, as we advance towards whatever is trying to attack us, we bind that in the name of Jesus. God, we trust in you, Lord. We put our hope and strength in the King of all kings, the Lord of lords. God, begin to move. I want us to pray as a group that the fear that is seen to be strangling a lot of America today starts to dissolve and the glory of God begins to replace that. God, in Jesus' name, we pray exactly that this morning. The name of Jesus is lifted higher and higher, and these fears begin to dissipate. God, because I know that when your presence comes in, fear and doubt is pushed out. So God, this day, begin to move. Just lift your hands up and tell him, God, I thank you. God, I praise you. I exalt you, God. You are the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Flood this place. God, begin to re-energize my spirit one more time, God. God, I long to feel your presence, Lord God, to experience your goodness. They're going to sing this for a few minutes and just go ahead and worship. You know, before we leave this morning, I want to say this, that the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. All the promises, nothing's changed. His promises are still for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. God's a big God. I want to just mention this one last time, and then you can stay or leave, whatever you need to do. And we do have some people really are walking in fear. And I want us to be careful that we don't belittle them because of that. Because that just makes the fear worse. But what we can do, especially for those that aren't tending because they're afraid, just remind them, hey, you can go to taftnewhope.us. Is that right? New Hope Taft. newhopetaft.us. And they can listen to the message online. And no one else is with them there. But the presence of God will go through that. And they can start getting some help and healing. Amen? Love you guys. Remember the business meeting Tuesday, 5:30, some dinner, 6 o'clock meeting. Bye.